Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, to our another installment of the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Rocket Nation, I am in the house as usual. I'm Christian Adams, known to you all out there, most of you anyway, as Rocket. Last week, I wasn't on air because of scheduling conflicts involving filming, which has continuously increased tremendously. So I want to say thank you all for supporting me and everything that I do. Tonight, we're at it again. And this is my first broadcast since the NFL season kicked off. So this is week two, the NFL week two aftermath. And tonight we're going to devote most of this broadcast to the National Football League, which is my favorite time of the year. Now, as you know, the NFL's gotten up to a crazy season this year. I, for one, have been astounded by what I've been witnessing. We've seen some teams win games that they weren't expected to win. We've seen certain players get off to great starts. And we've seen some coaches really, really, really get the best of their team and the media as well. So, for example, we had one particular game this past Sunday that ended with some, I guess, some confrontational drama between two head coaches. One coach who's been coaching for a long time, another guy who's making his debut this season. It's been a lot of animosity so far. We're about 3 days past this past week's game, and I can say that the ending was just unbelievable. It started with a great comeback and a team being able to be down by a handful of points and come back and win. So I got to say that was amazing. The defending Super Bowl champion New York Giants faced a tremendous amount of adversity by getting their first win of the season, coming back and beating the Buccaneers. This is a team that could not afford to go down 0-2, especially losing their first two games at home. It just can't happen. Now, I will say there's still some issues amongst this team with some of the injuries with certain players. Now, keep in mind, this team is getting ready to take the field tomorrow night in Carolina against the Panthers. So there's not going to be a lot of time for some of these players to get back to full speed. For example, wide receiver Hakeem Nicks will be out of this game with an injury, so he will not be playing. Again, you got to hand it to what this team was able to do last week. Eli Manning put up over 500 yards passing. And just the ending, no one really is really talking about the game itself. They're still talking about this handshake. And it's funny because it made me forget about the whole Jim Schwartz and Jim Harbaugh thing that took place last year. I'll get to that in a moment. But anyway, what happened at the end, and for those of you who didn't see it, basically it's a classic play where at the end the quarterback kneels down to run off the clock and to end the game instead of running another play or two. Some teams, they usually have to do it at least two or three times to run off as much of the clock as possible. Now, what happened in this particular play was the Buccaneers' defense, they really was trying to get to the quarterback. So they proceeded to knock over some of the Giants' offensive linemen and take a hit on Eli Manning, in which they did. After that was over, when the game ended, Giants head coach Tom Coughlin, Buccaneers head coach Greg Schiano, met at halfway through the field, and for the classic post-game handshake, well, there was no post-game handshake. The first thing Coughlin went to do was walk up to Schiano and basically let him have it. And Schiano responded by just standing there. He took it. It was no big deal to him, and they shook hands, and then next thing you know, a public war of words ensued. Not necessarily public, but you could only be there on the field to try and get a good listening to what they were saying. After the game, Coughlin basically told the media, look, you don't do that. You don't do that whatsoever. And the funny thing is, Schiano, he basically said it's not a dirty play. And to be honest with you, I don't think it's a dirty play. You play until the whistle. You play until there's 0 seconds left on a game clock in the fourth quarter. I don't care if you're down 85 to nothing. You keep playing. That's what you were instructed to do. And it's funny because a lot of these panelists and a lot of these analysts were basically saying, well, you don't do those things. Come on now, fellas, really? You play until the whistle is over. And Cowboys owner Jerry Jones had quite an interesting thing to say when he said that they should eliminate that kneel down play. You know, run the ball if you need to. So as far as I'm concerned, I think what Greg Schiano is teaching his team to do is to be tough. Because keep in mind, this is the same Buccaneers team who lost their final 10 regular season games a year ago. They were 4-2, and at one point, they were first place in the NFC South after beating the New Orleans Saints. Now, since then, they lost 10 straight. Their previous coach, Raheem Morris, gets fired. And now they bring in Shiano, who I guess you could say he has a reputation of being a hard-on coach, as most coaches should. When you're a young coach, you know, whether you're 30s, your 40s, you're instructed to do certain things, and you're going to be known to do certain things. We got a lot of fiery young coaches out there, as opposed to some of these guys who've been coaching for a long time, like Coughlin and Belichick and Mike Holmgren, who's no longer a coach, but you get the point anyway. The thing that surprised me was that these guys had so many bad things to say about that. Whatever happened to the NFL being a tough league, I think the Football Association these days has gone soft. I think it's unfortunate that we have witnessed this, and it's been very controversial, and it's been very unfortunate. But I tip my hat off to Shiano for coaching his team to be tough. And when you're in a situation that the Buccaneers are in, you're 1-1, you won your home opener, you almost went to 2-0, be tough and play tough. That's the way it is. So I have no problem with that. But, again, congratulations to the Giants. They got their first win of the year. Eli Manning put up some big numbers. And Victor Cruz and Hakeem Nicks both had over 100 yards receiving in this game, and they were a big part of the comeback. Despite Ahmad Bradshaw leaving the game with an injury and playing hurt throughout much of the game, this team showed why they are the Super Bowl champs. They're not really known much for their scoring, but they were able to put up some big numbers statistically and in terms of points. So I tip my hat off to the Giants for doing what they did. Again, they take the field tomorrow night in Carolina against the Panthers. That should be a very interesting matchup. Speaking of the Panthers, now they got to a tough start against Tampa in week one, but they rebounded nicely against the Saints. And week two, beating them pretty good. And, again, I was just amazed at what this team was able to do and how they were able to do it. I was just amazed, especially on the defensive end, which last year they weren't really known much for their defense. They weren't known much for necessarily always getting to the quarterback. Not like the Panthers teams of the past that usually had a good defense front, had a good set of linebackers, had a decent secondary, and they were able to put up some big numbers and things of that nature. So as far as I'm concerned, I was very impressed with what they were able to do. They got after Drew Brees, they forced turnovers, and they held up their end on the offense. And, again, they beat a depleted Saints team that's kind of distracted right now with everything that's been surrounding them on the field and even off the field. Unfortunately for the Saints, they're 0-2 now. And they lost two games in which you would think they should have won. Again, they let RG3 go to the Superdome and play like he's been playing for 10 years. So that was unfortunate on their end. And again, I've been saying for years, even when they won the Super Bowl, that the Saints' liability has been on the defensive side of the football. And I think that that's something that needs to be addressed. I don't care if Jonathan Vilma is playing or not. Their defense needs to be better. And they need to play better. Now, I will say they played tough. They did what they could. And, again, this team is distracted. They're very distracted. I just know for sure that without Sean Payton, without their leader, this team is going to be distracted a little bit. We all knew that going into the start of the season, and we're going to see more of that throughout the rest of the regular season. This team should face reality. They're not the same without their head coach. And when your quarterback is trying to do too many things at once and take so much upon his shoulders, that's an issue. That's a complete issue. And, again, Drew Brees should focus on being a quarterback. He doesn't need to be the offensive coordinator. He doesn't need to be an assistant coach. He doesn't even need to be a consultant. He needs to focus on being a quarterback and being what he's paid to do. All that money he's making, he should focus on just being the quarterback. I would say this team still has plenty of time to turn around, but they're in trouble. They're the only team in the NFC South who has yet to win a game so far this season. And again, their schedule's only going to get tough because they've only just played one divisional game so far. They still got to play two games against the Buccaneers, who look like they're going to be a tough team. They got a game against Green Bay this year. They're playing San Francisco, and they got to play twice against Atlanta. So, again, their schedule is going to be very, very, very difficult. And, again, I don't care what anyone says, they are going to have to play hard. And keep in mind, they're also playing Denver. They're playing Kansas City this Sunday. They're hosting Kansas City, another team who's 0-2 and just looks completely worn out already two games into the season. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, but it's tough. But they need to get their win. And I think they will beat the Kansas City Chiefs because that's a team that's really in complete disarray. They're in worse shape than New Orleans right now. Speaking of Atlanta, I got a chance to watch the Monday night game, and I was just flat out disappointed at what I saw. No, not because of the game. I just the way it was called. These officials right now, 2 weeks into the season, a lot of people want their heads. And it's crazy because we knew the risk, and the NFL knew the risk when they brought these referees in to replace the original officials, the veteran officials, guys who've been doing this for a long time. 2 weeks into the season, the regular season anyway, these guys are having some really difficult issues. One particular moment, an official called, well, basically he said, false start or offsides, number 98, red, and then he said play ball. I'm like, this is baseball? This is not the MLB, man. Come on, you got to get it together. And these guys are really, really having some difficult times with some of these calls. I have never seen so many false start, offensive holding, and pass interference calls 2 weeks into the season ever. In fact, they've had 95 to 100 of those penalties called the first 2 weeks of the season. That's unheard of. It's like these referees are making the wrong calls and too scared to make the right ones. Now, you have been trained professionally to get this stuff right. And I knew this was coming because I kept saying, well, you know what, the first 2 or 3 weeks, it's going to be a struggle between some teams. Some teams may lose games because of bad officiating. And I felt that Denver, one of the reasons they lost was bad officiating. I really felt that they were on a rally, a fourth quarter rally. It looked like they were going to come back. They were down 27-7 early in the third quarter. They scored 2 touchdowns in the second half, and they just came up short. But let's be honest, that wasn't the only reason why Denver lost. Peyton Manning didn't look like himself. He just didn't look like himself, especially in the first quarter. He threw 3 interceptions. And Denver had 4 turnovers total. You cannot do that against a good Atlanta team on their field in that Georgia Dome because in a lot of ways it's kind of like the Superdome. It's loud, it's wacky, and it's always a home field advantage because Matt Ryan, the quarterback, he rarely loses there. And he played a great game. He didn't turn the ball over. He managed the game well. He did what he was supposed to do. He got Michael Turner involved. He was able to get the ball to some of his pass catchers, Gonzalez and Roddy White. All except mainly one guy, Julio Jones, who had 14 yards receiving. Julio Jones was talking a big game before the start of the regular season. So far, he really hasn't lived up to it much. And if you have Julio Jones on your fantasy team, I feel sorry for you right now, period. When you talk a big game, you got to live up to it. You got to live up to it. Guys like Calvin Johnson, Andre Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, those guys don't talk a big game. They go out and do it. Even other guys like Victor Cruz and Greg Jennings and some of these other wide receivers in the league now that are putting up big numbers. When you talk big, you got to play big. And I will say this to all the players out there. You can't afford to talk a big game and you're not really doing much to help your team and you're just riding the sidelines or just happy to be on the roster. You can't really do that. You don't have the right to talk smack in that particular situation. So, again, I want to say congratulations to Matt Ryan for putting up a great game, and I think Peyton Manning and Denver will bounce back. I think they'll bounce back tremendously, and we'll see what they do as the season continues. But Peyton Manning looked a lot more comfortable in that Week 1 game. It should come as no surprise that he was at home. It's a completely different ball game when you're going on the road on prime-time TV in a very hostile environment playing against a team that rarely loses at home and a quarterback who rarely loses at home. It's going to be tough, but Atlanta, they really stacked the line. They moved their defensive players around a lot, and it really threw Peyton Manning off guard completely. Three interceptions in the first quarter is not a coincidence. Two of them, I believe, came off of tip balls. So, again, they still got plenty of time. There's no need to panic, really, for a lot of these teams 2 weeks into the season, except if you're the Saints. But it's still a long season. And we've seen teams come back from 0-2 deficits and really make names for themselves. We've seen teams come back from being down 0-3. Buffalo Bills did it in 1998. The Detroit Lions did it in 1995. Both teams had 10-6 records in those years and went on to the playoffs. So all I'm saying is just because you're 0-2 doesn't mean that you don't have enough opportunities or time to turn it around. So take it for what it's worth. And remember, there's still plenty of fight left within all these teams. It's as simple as that. Now, as far as I'm concerned, speaking of another primetime game, last Thursday between the Bears and Packers, the Packers rebounded nicely from the San Francisco game. And again, like the Giants, they could not afford to go down 0-2, especially losing their first two games at home. So be that as it may, they rebounded nicely. They rebounded nicely, and they were able to pick up a big win again and a divisional win at that. Now, Jay Cutler, before that game that week, basically talked about. He basically said, "Good luck to the Packers, especially on the defense." But when you complete 11 of 27 passes with 4 interceptions and 7 sacks, shouldn't it be the other way around? I mean, think about it. He threw 4 INTs. He was sacked 7 times. Half of those sacks, 3.5 of them really, were by Clay Matthews. And one particular moment we saw him bump one of his offensive tackles. Now, there's no body to blame in that situation but Jay Cutler himself, because you threw the interceptions and you allowed yourself to be sacked. Now, keep in mind, this Chicago Bears team, they've had difficulties with pass protection going back to last season. Cutler has been sacked more times since 2009, more than any other quarterback, basically since he joined the Chicago Bears organization, which happened to be 2009, by the way. So again, as far as I'm concerned, they gotta buckle down. I mean, they had a nice win against a tough Indy team, but it was a completely different ball game against Green Bay, who is a tougher team and much better, especially on the offensive end. So if you're Chicago, things are going to be tough. You get ready to host St. Louis Sunday. St. Louis is going to be a very tough team. They took it to Detroit. They came from behind and beat Washington within the closing minutes of this past Sunday's game, and they were able to go out there and just soundly do what they needed to do. I thought it was impressive. I thought it was a very nice victory for the Rams against a very up-and-coming young quarterback in RG3 who put up some big numbers in that game, but it really wasn't much of his fault. So, again, I think Jeff Fisher is going to instill some festiness and toughness into this Rams team, something they've really been lacking since, I don't know, maybe since the greatest Sean Turf era, really, if you think about it. Now, as far as some of the other games I got a chance to watch, Philly and Baltimore, now, that was a good game that came down to the wire. I thought that Michael Vick played as well as he could. Joe Flacco, he played as well as he could. But let's be honest, if you were to ask these guys, they both will tell you that they could have played a lot better. I think both defenses played tough, but I think both teams, that's the one game I saw this past week, that these two teams could have played better than what the game showed. It was a good competitive game, but the bottom line is it was a good game, but both teams could have played better, period. Period. But tip your hat off to both of those guys. It was very competitive. It was very tough. I liked the game. I thought it was a good competitive game between two tough teams with two tough defenses and two tough quarterbacks. It was a good game. It was a great finish. And somebody had to go 2-0, and somebody had to go 1-1, and we know who did now. But if you're Philly, I honestly believe you could play a lot better. Michael Vick has already had about 7 turnovers in 2 games. He threw 4 INTs against Cleveland. I think he threw 3 against Baltimore. And basically, for the most part, he needs to play better. Because you don't want to have these close games all the time, every week. You really don't want to go through that. So, as far as I'm concerned, I think the main frame is Michael Vick needs to play better. And keep in mind, Philly, they have yet to play a divisional game. And the NFC East is always the toughest division as far as the NFC Conference is concerned, because all 4 teams both look like serious playoff contenders, all 4 teams. And Philly, they're in first place right now. They're 2-0. Giants coming off, they got their first win. Redskins coming off a tough loss. And the Dallas Cowboys, who a lot of people thought would go to the Super Bowl after the first game of the season, beating the Giants in New York, and they go to Seattle and lay an egg. Unbelievable. And they only scored 7 points in the game. Now, Seattle is a very tough team, and they're a team that's going to be very underlooked because they're starting a rookie quarterback too. And I was just impressed with how they were able to really dominate Dallas on both sides of the ball. They were able to keep Romo contained for much of the game, and they didn't allow Dallas to do the things that they did against New York in week 1. So, again, I was just amazed at how they were able to do what they were able to do. And it was just a flat-out beatdown, a good old-fashioned beatdown, courtesy of the Seahawks. And now their big test will come next Monday night when they host Green Bay. They have a chance to go 2-1 and really challenge San Francisco for first place in the NFC West, or just in the division somewhere down the line, really. But some of those teams look like they're going to be tough in that division. I think that Quest Field, where the Seahawks play, is just one of the toughest places to play. Those fans are very supportive of their team. It's a tough environment. It's just a very challenging field to play at. Just ask the Saints in the postseason 2 years ago when they lost in an upset. And some of those Seahawks teams we've seen 6-7 years ago when they had Hasselbeck as their quarterback and Sean Alexander as their tailback, it was very tough to win up there, especially in the postseason. If you had to play a game in Seattle, it was tough. It was very tough. I just think that it was it's just a very tough place to play, and it's just a very wild and crazy place to play. And again, give credit to the Seahawks. They played the way the Cowboys played against the Giants in week 1. That's how they played, and that's how they look. They're 1-1, and now they got Green Bay coming to town next week, and I think they can really take it to them. We've seen a lot of upsets so far. Like I was saying earlier, we've seen a lot of upsets, and these teams are very, very, very capable of beating each other more than what we have witnessed over the years. Now, San Francisco, yes, they beat my Detroit Lions. I tip my hat off to them. I think everybody was relieved, especially at the end with the post-game handshake. I think a lot of people were looking forward to how those two coaches were going to react. We saw them have a positive reaction during the pregame handshake before the teams took the field while they were practicing before the start of the game. And then we saw it at the end. So I just think last year was the heat of the moment. It was the heat of the moment on Schwartz's part, mainly because San Francisco was the first team to beat the Lions last year. And it was just tough. It was just a very tough outcome. Now, San Francisco, they're 2-0. They've beaten two playoff teams so far. And they have a chance to really, really, really up the tempo even more. And really, I guess, cement themselves as a front runner in the NFC for the Super Bowl. But, again, it's 2 weeks into the season. So we'll see what they'll do as the season continues. But give them credit. They've beaten Green Bay. They've beaten Detroit. They just looked absolutely impressive. And keep in mind, they got games coming up where they're going to be playing the Jets. They're going to be playing New England. They're going to be they got Minnesota coming up next week. They're going to go to the Metrodome and face them. That's going to be tough. It's always going to be a tough game up there in the Metrodome. And remember, the last time San Francisco went there, well, we all know what happened. It was an amazing comeback by the Vikings within the closing minutes, and it was a great play by Brett Favre to get the ball into the end zone. But keep in mind, that was then, and this is now. Some of those players from Minnesota are no longer with the team from there, and it's a completely different Vikings team. Luckily for them, they still have Adrian Peterson, but he's not enough. He's not enough. And we'll see what happens in that game. Now, Minnesota, they went to Indianapolis this past week, and that was a very competitive game. I watched that game, and I really enjoyed that game. I didn't care what those two teams did a year ago. It was a very, 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 very competitive game between two teams who are going to be around for the near future. These two teams are slowly rebuilding themselves a little bit. Minnesota, they kind of went on a decline since their big playoff run in the 2009 season when they went to the NFC Championship game that year. And Indianapolis, they're rebuilding themselves, you know, from the Peyton Manning era, basically. Andrew Luck gets his first win as a starting quarterback, and I was just amazed. He looked impressive in the two-minute offense at the end of the first half and the second half. And they were able to put up points. The first half ended with a touchdown. The second half ended with a field goal. And they looked absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And Andrew Luck looks like a diamond in the rough. A lot of these rookie quarterbacks look really, really good right now. I got to say, Andrew Luck, he's right up there at the top. RG3, you can go neck and neck with both of them. Ryan Tannehill, he got his first win from Miami this past weekend as they soundly whooped up on Oakland. Brandon Whedon, Cleveland, they're 0-2, but he struggled against Philadelphia, but he looked impressive against Cincinnati in the losing effort. But I still think that he's going to be a quarterback to be reckoned with down the line. He looks better than any time I've ever seen Colt McCoy play. And no disrespect to Colt McCoy, but Wheaton just looks good right now. And after that game, he looked really good, and I was impressed with the way he was able to play. But it was against Cincinnati, who really doesn't have much of a defense. But still, when you can control the tempo and really, really do some things, yeah, you're going to get some recognition. But we'll see what they do in Cleveland. We'll see what they do in Cleveland. They're 0-2, and they're playing in a tough division, unfortunately, where – three teams made the playoffs a year ago, and that could be the case again this year. So we'll see what happens. Russell Wilson, he looked good too, and he still looks good. So I can't wait to get a chance to really watch him play against Green Bay next Monday night. I'm looking forward to that game. That's going to be a very good game, and It's going to be a matchup of a quarterback who's been good for a while and a quarterback who's upcoming. So that's going to be a great matchup. And if I'm Russell Wilson, I'm looking forward to the challenge. You really get to go up against the Green Bay defense where they haven't exactly been much of the same since their Super Bowl season. Keep in mind, last year they were ranked 32nd. That's dead last out of all the NFL teams in defense. This year really hasn't been that much different. But if they can protect Wilson against Green Bay, if they can protect them from the likes of Matthews and A.J. Hawk and B.J. Raji, I think they'll look good. I think they'll look good, and I like their chances for sure. Keep in mind, they still got Marshawn Lynch, who's one of the best power runners in the game, and that's a quarterback's best friend, a good running back, and good offensive protection, offensive line protection. So that's going to be a good game, and we'll see what happens with those teams. Pittsburgh and the Jets. I just was really taken back a little bit when I saw how Pittsburgh really dominated that second half. Now, Pittsburgh needed to win this game because they could not afford to go down 0-2. They had a tough loss in Denver, and they needed to take their frustrations out on the Jets team, who racked up 48 against Buffalo in week one, but there's a difference between Buffalo and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a much more better team. They got a much better defense, and they got a much better passing game, and their coaching is better. Now, I will say that with the way that game was played, I really think that the Pittsburgh Steelers should really open things up a little bit more. Now that they got a new offensive coordinator, I think they should open the passing game up just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. And allow Ben Roethlisberger to make plays with his hands and feet if he needs to. Sanchez played well, especially in the first half. But on their first drive, they were able to go 80 to 90 yards to the end zone. So that was no accident. They got a chance to run a few plays with Tebow. He had one nice little play where he ran about 10, 15 yards, 20 yards or so. I just think that this Jets team is still trying to find its identity on the offensive end. And I also think that what they're doing now is, as far as these wildcat formations, they're going to try and fool defensive coordinators and throw opposing defenses off their tracks a little bit. Now, I remember when during the preseason where the Jets only scored 31 total points, and then in week one against Buffalo, they put up 48. Now, they played tough against Pittsburgh, but it's Pittsburgh. You got to play your best ball against a team like that to beat them. And it's amazing because Pittsburgh did it without their two best defensive players. Troy Polamalu and James Harrison both sat out this past week with injuries. It remains to be seen if they'll be back this upcoming weekend. But nonetheless, Pittsburgh was able to control the line of scrimmage. They ran the ball well. Roethlisberger was able to get the ball to his receivers. Mike Wallace played well. Jericho Cotri, who played against his former team, he played well. Santonio Holmes for the Jets, he played well against his former team. But I'm pretty sure he's looking now, Santonio Holmes, he's probably wishing he was still in a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform. But I'm pretty sure the Steelers could certainly use him, and he misses them too. So, hey, you never know what's going to happen in the future. We could see Santonio Holmes go back to Pittsburgh one day and finish his career there. We shall see. Because this is the same guy who's been running his mouth off since last year about the offense, about the coaching, about some of his teammates, and blah, blah, blah. That's a distraction. And you cannot have any distractions on your team like that. So they need to work out those situations and work them out fast. Seriously, they need to work them out fast. Some of the other games I haven't mentioned yet, like I said, Miami really took it to Oakland big time. Reggie Bush, to me, that was the best game I've seen Reggie Bush play as a running back. I mean, take away from what he's done in special teams, going back to his days with the Saints. He had his best ever running performance as far as I'm concerned. He ran the ball soundly, exceptionally well. He played like the Reggie Bush we expected him to play like when he was drafted in 2006. That's who many of us expected him to play like. And, again, he's playing on a Dolphins team where he's going to get his chances to run the ball because he's playing with a rookie quarterback. And, again, like I said, a quarterback, a rookie or a young quarterback's best friend is a good complementary running game and a good complementary back who can do little things like run the ball and catch passes out of the backfield and make certain plays and things of that nature. I think Reggie Bush is capable of doing all those things, and he played exceptionally well. I was proud of the way he played. Now, if he can keep it up, he'll get somewhere. Because let's be honest, the hype has been dead for at least 2 or 3 years, basically since the Super Bowl season in 2009. It's died down completely. It's dead. Reggie Bush's hype, rest in peace. Rest in peace. But I want to take a quick opportunity to go off the NFL book a little bit and say rest in peace to Steve Sable, who passed away yesterday from brain cancer at the age of 69. It's a sad loss, and it's a great loss for the NFL. This man was a great innovator. He was a great genius. He co-founded the NFL Films Company with his father, Ed Sable, back during the 1970s, really. ESPN was really the first to feature them in their work in 1979. And for many years, and growing up when I started watching ESPN during the 90s as a kid, I used to watch the NFL film shows. And just the way they choreographed everything, the music, the sound of the game, the highlights with all those teams and players and coaches, just pure geniosity. It was just amazing creativity between two guys, father and son, who had done so much for the game. And I just think it was amazing. I got nothing but respect for what Mr. Sable has done. And if he or his father are not in the Hall of Fame, they should be. Just for that stuff alone, these guys really introduced the NFL to greater fashion and greater substance as far as nationwide and popularity. I mean, NFL Films has just been classic. Many years after years, and some of the interviews he's done with some of the great players, like I've seen the one he did with Barry Sanders, and I just thought that was great. Steve Sable has always had many great things to say, and watching him on the NFL Network, you know, with the Top 10 Countdown, when they talk about different subjects and things like that, he's had some great things to say on there with some of the coaches and things like that. Just amazing. Just amazing. It's a sad loss. And, again, you got to put him up there with some of the big names we've lost this year alone. And we've lost a lot. We've lost a lot of people. But I got to say, rest in peace to Mr. Steve Sable. May your legacy carry on for so many years to come. I've been fortunate to have witnessed some of your work on TV and listen to you preach about the game, the teams, the players, what your opinion was on those guys, how you felt about those things. I was honored to have listened to you speak about the game for so many years, and I can't wait to see more of stuff that you've done in the past. And I've only seen one third of everything. I haven't seen the full picture. I want to be able to see as many great highlights of him as much as possible. Again, rest in peace to you. You got my vote for the Hall of Fame. I don't care what anyone says. You're a Hall of Famer in my book for what you have done, and you deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, you and your father both. No question about it. So as far as I'm concerned, Steve Sable, Ed Sable, you both got, both of you guys, get close to home. Hall of Famers for sure. Whether you get officially inducted in or not, you're Hall of Famers in my book. By far, bar none, period. Period. And to all you voters out there, the ones who vote for these guys to get in the Hall of Fame, you need to vote for these two. Seriously. I've never been one to say this guy should really, really be in the Hall of Fame, because I never looked at the Hall of Fame like that, but those two guys are sure fire Hall of Famers. Get them both in there. Period. Get them both in. Just getting a chance to see the old NFL film sessions on ESPN Classic during the 90s, well, those are the best times to watch NFL films. Watching highlights from teams during the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and early 90s at that point was just astounding. Just astounding. I loved it, and I still do. And I love Mr. Steve Sable for that. He had been battling brain cancer for so many years, and it finally took its toll and took his life as a result. But you may be gone. However, you will never be forgotten. Your legacy will carry on through true football fans. I'm a true football fan because I can appreciate greatness. I can appreciate great work when I see it. And as far as I'm concerned, I appreciate your great work. And for everything that you did, your contributions have paid off major dividends in the history of this game. So I say to you again, rest in peace, and thank you for blessing us with these gifts, these football gifts of yours. Just amazing. Just amazing. Just amazing. Period. I know that we are now living in a different generation as far as sports is concerned, but we should really take the time to acknowledge the guys who really paved the way, the guys who opened things up, the guys who innovated many different aspects of the game, no matter what it was. As long as it had a lot to do with the NFL, whether it was plays or certain players or coaches and media invested things like television deals, video deals, networking deals, just the whole nine yards. We should really pay respect to these guys who have really done these things. And a lot of them are no longer here with us, but I can tell you that they deserve 100%, 200% recognition for everything that they've done. If it wasn't for Steve Sable, football really wouldn't be what it is today. We wouldn't look at it in this fashion. We have been privileged to have these gifts handed down to us, and we should learn to appreciate it more. If all you young fans out there, even around my age and younger, I'm 26 years old, but I can tell you that I enjoy football from an old school standpoint because I grew up on it. I've seen highlights, I've seen games, I've witnessed a lot of different things. Be that as it may, again, we really should pay respects to what these guys have done because they've all paved the way for us. We really should. We really should. Again, rest in peace to Mr. Steve Sable for what he has done in the National Football League. And may your work continue to be acknowledged from here to the end of time itself. I think that football itself should be more appreciated. Of course, we're living through rough times right now, and we're experiencing rough times with the game itself, with these officiating, these referees, coaches with their tirades, players demanding more money, things of that nature. And some of these things that it's kind of hurt us a little bit, and it's hurt us a lot, really. Football should be more acknowledged as a total team spirited game. Play the game because you love to play the game because you want to win, you want to succeed. Don't play for paychecks. But it's unfortunate because a lot of these players have. And I look at it from a certain cultural standpoint, these guys make millions and millions of dollars a year. Every year, they're piling up money, and half of these players don't even take the field. Now, I know for sure that that these guys make a lot of money. I understand that. I'm aware of that. But, again, I respect players who have a certain level of respect for the game itself. And they play because they love it and they want to win and they want to work hard and be better at it. It's kind of tearing us up a little bit. Again, we need to learn how to respect the game itself and appreciate what has been handed to us. Because, again, you never know how things are until you go out there and you witness it. Now, I want to go off topic and talk about some of the other things that have been going on. We've had about two or three weeks of college football. Some of these teams have really been playing well. I've been amazed. Florida State, they're getting back to where they were since the Bobby Bowden days. Miami, Florida, they're playing better. Florida, they're playing better. Of course, Alabama's up there at the top. You got LSU doing their thing. Michigan State, despite the loss to Notre Dame, they're doing their thing. Notre Dame has been really, really playing great football this year. This is the best I've seen them look in years. They look phenomenal. They got another big test against Michigan this past week. And now, as you know, for the past week, the Notre Dame college program is now shifting gears a little bit. Some of their teams are switching conferences. Now, the football conference, they're not eligible to switch for another 27 months. But when they do, apparently, they're going to go to, I believe, the SEC. That includes, the ACC. It's one of those conferences. I know the basketball team is going to the same division where you got Duke and North Carolina and Maryland and Wake Forest. Going to be quite competitive, quite challenging. The football team is going to be interesting because they're going to lose some of the traditional games that they play. It's possible. Games that include playing Michigan, Michigan State, USC, Purdue, Navy, they're going to lose those traditional games. And as a fan, as a big fan, a big-time fan, I miss that. I'm going to miss that if it comes down to it. I love the Michigan-Notre Dame games. It's traditional, dude. I love the Michigan State-Notre Dame games. That's very traditional. USC, very traditional. Navy, just because it's Navy. And Purdue. I mean, I don't know if Notre Dame should do that or not because I hate to see teams break tradition. That's like the Lions and Cowboys no longer playing their games on Thanksgiving anymore. That's the thing. So it would be unfortunate if it came down to that, but – I don't know if Notre Dame should do it or not, but if they do, and if they do pray tradition, if they do, we'll see what happens. We will definitely see what happens. But, again, congratulations to the Notre Dame program. It looks like they're going to be moving on up, and we'll see what happens with them from here on out. The NHL, man. The NHL is now having another lockout. The players have been locked out since this past weekend, which is unfortunate because they have plenty of time to work out deals between the league and, I guess, the players and coaches and owners. And the fact that nothing has come out. Keep in mind, this is the second lockout we have had in the past decade. And it's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate because there are a lot of hockey fans out there, especially here in Michigan. I can tell you that we got a lot of Red Wings fans. And a lot of people will tell you that Michigan is known as Hockey Town. Detroit is Hockey Town. So I just think that they still can work this out because the season isn't expected to start for at least another month. They can still work this out. They might lose some preseason games, and who knows, they might lose a few games into the regular season. As a hockey fan, you would hate to miss out on that. You would hate to see that happen to anybody, and you would hate to see that happen to you hate to see that happen to this particular league. Now, I hope that everything works out for the better because I will be watching. I'll be paying close attention to what they're going to do. And, I hope that things get resolved. I will feel bad for every hockey fan who would have to miss out on much of the upcoming season. Now, we've already had two lockouts last year with the NBA and the NFL. It's a crisis now. It's unfortunate. It's the whole business concept that's the whole crisis situation. So we'll see what happens, but hockey fans should pray and pray quickly that they get at least a preseason and then a full season. You don't want games to be missed because of a contract dispute, something that can easily be resolved if people take the time to negotiate the business concept of things. Now, going back to the NFL with the referees, apparently I've been watching ESPN and some of the guys on there have been talking about that they might not have a deal worked out between the original referees and the NFL, at least for the duration of this season. So we might have to deal with these officials now for the rest of this year, and that's going to be difficult, especially in the playoffs. What's going to happen if these referees make bad calls in the postseason? Hopefully by then they'll have enough experience to where they won't make too many mistakes. Apparently the league is impressed with what they've been doing for the first 2 weeks, but a fan like myself, I'll have to say otherwise. Now, Adam Schefter on ESPN made a report where he said that the only way that they really, really take this whole thing seriously with the referees is if fans stop watching the games. And trust me, I know some fans out there who haven't been watching much of the games this year because of these bad calls and stuff, but more of that apparently has to happen in order for the NFL to really, really take notice and get a wake-up call to do what needs to be done. I think that it's unfortunate because we have so many football fans, and I know football fans left and right. I communicate with a lot of these guys, males and females, and It's tough right now to watch these games because of these calls and things of that nature. It's very difficult. Very difficult. Some people can't even watch games with a straight face. I can honestly say I'm one of them. That Monday night game, the officiating was a disaster. Complete disaster. That had to have been the worst game I've seen in terms of officiating in years. Ever. Ever, ever. In any sport, period. So as far as I'm concerned, please, NFL, work this out with these referees. Work these things out with these referees, please. Please, we are begging you as football fans. Please, whatever it takes. Now, over in the baseball, I gotta acknowledge one of my hometown teams, the Tigers. They're playing the Oakland A's tonight downtown at Comerica Park. Miguel Cabrera is in talks of winning the Triple Crown. He's like, I guess, the lead vote getter. He's like the main guy that people are really pushing for. I'm certainly pushing for him. He has my vote. And as far as I'm concerned, I hope he does win it. It'd be a great accomplishment if he were to win it and Justin Verlander gets another Cy Young. That would be great. That would be great. But to me, the one thing that this team really needs to focus on is winning their division. They're three games back of the Chicago White Sox, and they only have about 2-3 weeks left of the regular season, so they need to buckle down and win these games. They really need to buckle down and win these games, and then those other rewards will come with it. You know, they're pulling for him, the teammates, Jim Leland. They're pulling for him, but in reality, this team wants to make the postseason more than those awards and things of that nature. So we'll see what happens. The race is getting down to the wire. Now, in the wild card stands, the Tigers are about 5 games back. So they need to pretty much win. They really can't afford to lose anymore this season. That's just the way I look at it. And I think that they need to salvage some more pride because they've lost some games these past few weeks. Actually, for the past month, they've lost some games that they had no business losing. So they need to buckle down and quit playing and seriously play some baseball. The season is nearly coming to a close, and they might not even make the postseason at this rate. So they really need to get this thing going. They really need to salvage some pride, muster as much energy as possible, and win. No matter how you have to do it, win. Pitch great, hit great, whatever you need to do. Make the plays, do what you need to do. And prevent the other team from doing the same as much as possible. Now, both the AL races and the NL races are really coming down to the wire. I want to say real quickly, one guy I'm going to miss after this season is Chipper Jones, long time from the Atlanta Braves, who was drafted 20 years ago. He's been playing since 1992, and I'm going to miss him. He actually, believe it or not, is my favorite baseball player ever. I have been a Braves fan since 1995 when I first started really, really watching other teams play baseball. Back then, I was just a Tigers fan. That was the only team I watched. Now I watch the Tigers. I watch the Braves sometimes. And I've been a big fan of them. Growing up, I was a big fan of Greg Maddux, who to me was one of my favorite pitchers ever. Tom Glavine, I loved him. John Smoltz, Andrew Jones, Andres Galarraga, and with his health situation that he battled and everything, I was just taken back, just like amazingly taken back. And Chipper Jones is still here. He's still playing, and I'm going to miss him when he leaves. I'm going to miss him. I know a lot of baseball fans can appreciate what he's done for the game and what his legacy is going to look like when he leaves. He's going to be missed. Tremendously, he's going to be missed. But the races are coming down to the wire. I want to say good luck to all your teams that are in the races. Good luck to all your teams that may and will clinch spots, clinch the divisions. And good luck to your teams in the postseason when the postseason starts. So, again, whatever it comes down to, I know the Yankees and Orioles and Rays are pretty much battling for that division over in the AL, so may the best team win. I think it's going to be the Yankees. But I think the Orioles, they look like they can sneak into the wild card spot. So we'll see how that turns out. But the Tigers need to keep winning. All those other teams in the NL, the Phillies, they need to keep winning. May the best teams clinch. May the best teams win, and good luck to everybody. It's as simple as that. Good luck to everybody. I think we're gearing up towards what could look like a very competitive baseball postseason. Every team, a lot of these teams, there's at least five or six teams that look like they can win the World Series. So once the playoffs get here, that's where things are really going to start clicking and teams are really going to turn it up. And we shall see how all that plays in into what's going to happen with some of these teams down the stretch. So with a few weeks left of the regular season, good luck to you guys. Because every single team and every single player and coach is going to need it. Good luck. Good luck. Now, we're over an hour into the show. And, again, I want to thank everybody for continuing to listen in. This has been great so far. I enjoy doing things like this. And for those of you who don't know, I talk about this every week. Me, Christian Adams, a.k.a. Rocket. I was a former co-host of the Black Rocket Blast, which is also on blogtalkradio.com. I was a co-host from December of 2011. We started on the 23rd up until May of this year. And it was a fun ride. I enjoyed it. But at the time, I was looking to get out. I was basically looking to do my own show. And originally I had planned to do my own show, but I didn't have the funds and I didn't have the structure and I didn't necessarily have the approach for what I was going to do. I finally got that structure. I finally got that approach and that energy I needed to muster up to force myself to do this. And I've done it and I haven't been looking back. Not at all. Not even for a solitary second. Just the simple fact that I wanted to do something different. I always aspire to be different. I don't want to be like everybody else. I want to be like my own individual, period. It's as simple as that. I aspire to do different things and have different concepts and things of that nature. Not too many radio shows talk about sports. A lot of these radio shows I see, they talk about relationships, they talk about dating, they talk about the same type of stuff over and over again. I wanted to do something different, give you sports. Sports doesn't get talked about enough today. Yes, it's tough. We're in a sports crisis right now, but sports should still get as much acknowledgement as music, entertainment, movies and film, everything. Everything. And from a fan standpoint, I can tell you that I have certainly enjoyed playing this, watching these games and watching these players and listening to these coaches speak and things like that. No matter what sport it is, I know how to get some excitement out of it. I've been a sports fan since really 1989 when I was 3 years old, and I first started watching the Lions play when they drafted Barry Sanders and he was a rookie. I watched the Detroit Pistons, you know, the Bad Boys when they were kicking in the high gear. I was watching Michael Jordan come up and everything. Baseball, I was a big Tigers fan growing up. I was watching them, and even when they slipped into mediocrity during the 90s, I still continued to watch as many of the games as possible. And now I started expanding and becoming fans of other teams. I became a Broncos fan after watching John Elway play. I became a Braves fan after watching Chipper Jones and Greg Maddux and the rest of those guys on that team play. I became a Los Angeles Lakers fan. They already had Magic Johnson, but then I became more of a fan after they drafted Shaq. When they signed him over as a free agent, and then they made a trade with the Charlotte Hornets after the Hornets drafted Kobe in 1996. And then eventually I became a Red Wings fan when I started getting more into hockey. So as far as like the professional sports and things of that nature, I just became a big-time fan, period. And it's amazing to see some of these athletes do their thing. It's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. To me, anyone who aspires to be an athlete should continue to learn how to do what they do. And I can't wait to see how the rest of these teams continue as far as what's been going on and how well these teams are going to continue to do what they do. Period. Period. As far as week two, getting back to week two of the NFL, the aftermath, which is the name of tonight's show, and I'm going to have more of these. Next week will be NFL week three aftermath and as many as possible. Right now, there's a lot of teams right now that really need to buckle down. The Saints need to buckle down quickly. The Patriots, they really need to buckle down. To me, Arizona going to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts, and beating New England, to me, that's been the biggest upset of the season. Yes, I know the Redskins beat the Saints in week one, but they took advantage of a Saints team that was basically in disarray with everything that's been going on with them since pretty much the beginning of the year, really. They, the Patriots, had gone 10 straight seasons winning their first home opener, whether it was in week one, week two, or week three. Now, not only do they lose, but they also lose their best tight end, Aaron Hernandez. He's going to be out for at least a month with the bad ankle injury, which led the Patriots to signing Kellen Winslow Jr., who was cut by the Seahawks during the preseason this year. He spent last year playing for Tampa Bay. And Deion Branch, who they cut during the preseason, they brought him back. Branch caught 51 passes last year as a Patriot, and he's been a big part of their success for so many years. He's a former Super Bowl MVP. He has also been one of the more underlooked and underappreciated receivers in the game, but he's been one of the best pass receivers. The guy runs routes. The guy catches passes. The guy rarely drops the ball. He just plays his hardest week in and week out. And I was kind of disappointed when the Patriots cut him, but I'm happy that they brought him back, and hopefully he'll stay longer. Hopefully he'll stay longer. They got Brandon Lloyd on the team, who they also signed from St. Louis this year. They need to get him going. Seriously, Brandon Lloyd is a very talented receiver. To me, he's been best known as making acrobatic catches. He's been doing it since he was a rookie in San Francisco in 2004. He just continues to do what he does, and he just looks amazing doing it. Actually, it's 2003. I'm sorry. 2003, I'm sorry. Again, he just looks very talented, and they need to get the ball going to him. But what in the world has happened to Wes Welker? Come to find out, I didn't get a chance to watch the whole game, but he didn't come in until after the Hernandez injury. Unbelievable. This guy is your all-time leading receiver in receptions and yards. And you mean to tell me that they're not playing him as much as they used to? He is the best possession receiver in the game. The guy just works hard. Yes, we've seen him drop some passes at times, but he's still a good pass catcher. And I don't understand why they're not getting him involved. I don't know what Bill Belichick is thinking about. I don't know what's going on with him, but they need to get him going as well. Gronkowski, they need to get him going. He had a holding penalty, which Danny Wood had was scoring off a particular play, and he got caught for a holding penalty. That play would have been the game-winning play had it not been for the penalty. And eventually the Patriots lost. They tried to kick a game-winning field goal, and it went wide, and I mean completely wide. It wasn't even close. And they ended up losing the game by 2 points. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, keep in mind, they go to Baltimore next Sunday. Baltimore's coming off a disappointing loss, so they're going to have a chip on their shoulder. That's going to be the rematch of last year's AFC Conference title game. So if you're Baltimore, you're gearing up for that. That's going to be a very interesting matchup, and if you're the Patriots, you need to win that game. Would you believe since 2003, the Patriots have never had a losing record? They've never been 1-2. They've never been any games under 500 since then. Since then. And in that 2003 season, they lost their first game to Buffalo 31-0. They went on to win the Super Bowl that year. And it's funny because they returned the favor to Buffalo that same season in Week 17 by the same score. So whatever they need to do, they need to do it and do it fast because that division is shaping to be competitive. Everybody in that division is 1-1, and it's already looking competitive. So we shall see what this Patriots team is going to do. And, again, they haven't even played a divisional game yet, so it'll be interesting to see how they match up with those teams. And, again, they also got games this year against San Francisco, Seattle, who's looking competitive, St. Louis, who's looking competitive, Baltimore next week. And they're also going to be playing Denver this year, too. So they got some tough games on their schedule. I believe they played the Texans this year, too. So they got some tough schedules, some tough games on their schedule. Just looking at some of these games and everything, I think so far to me, 2 weeks in the season, I think the biggest surprise is the Arizona Cardinals. I didn't think they would be 2-0. I felt like last week's game against Seattle would be in week one would be could go either way, really. I didn't think that they could go to Gillette Stadium and beat New England the way they did. And that defense has been playing exceptionally well. They've been playing good, very good. And that's going to be very, very challenging because what's going to happen when they play San Francisco and those two defenses are going to be clashing? It's going to be great matchups, but, again, unbelievable. And get this, they travel to Philadelphia to play the Eagles this upcoming Sunday. That is going to be one of the top matchups this upcoming week. Keep in mind, those two teams played each other in a tough, brutal physical game last year. This year, it's going to be a more intense matchup. And if you're Cardinals quarterback Kevin Cobb, who got hurt against your former team last year, keep in mind they traded Philadelphia traded Cobb to Arizona before the start of last season. You want to play in this game. You want to be the starting quarterback, not John Skelton. You want to be the starting quarterback. So if you're still hurt, you need to get yourself up to full speed. And if they allow you to play, you better play your best game. Period. Play your best game to the best of your abilities because they're going to need you. They're going to need you. And it's a matchup of two 2-0 teams. Philadelphia, their games have really come down to the wire, as is Arizona. So that's going to be a very, very interesting matchup, and I'm looking forward to watching that game, definitely. Another matchup of 2-0 teams is going to be Atlanta and San Diego this upcoming Sunday at 4 Eastern. That's going to be a great matchup because San Diego, they're looking like, well, they look like the team that got off to a good start last year, and then they faltered towards the middle of the season and the rest of the way. But they're looking better than they did a year ago. They're looking much better. Phillip Rivers is playing better. They don't have Vincent Jackson no more, but they look like they don't need him. And keep in mind, Vincent Jackson wasn't there for the team much of last year, especially when they were winning games. But the point is, they look like they don't need him. They look like they're on a good track. And, again, they got a shot to win the AFC West already. Already. So that's going to be a very interesting matchup. And Matt Ryan, he's putting up big numbers. To me, he's one of the top 10 quarterbacks this year, and I love the way he's been playing football. Michael Turner, despite his little recent arrest, he can be one of the better runners, but they're more of a passing team now. They're more of a passing team, and it's funny because This will be Turner's first game in San Diego since he left there in 2008 when he signed with the Falcons as a free agent. That's going to be a very anticipated matchup. Very anticipated matchup, and I can't wait to see how that matchup is going to play out. A lot of people already contemplating it as a potential Super Bowl matchup, and you never know. If Atlanta, if Atlanta can get home field advantage this year again, I think the outcome could be different because they ran into a Green Bay team who had a great defense. Now, the one defense that can challenge them is San Francisco. However, I do think that if they do manage to get home field advantage, it's going to be tough for teams like Green Bay and San Francisco or even New Orleans to go there and win a postseason game. That's going to be very tough for any of those teams or any other team in the NFC to do. So Atlanta's one of those teams that their time is now. This is going to be Tony Gonzalez's last season, apparently, and why not go out on top as trying to compete to get a Super Bowl? He's never played in a Super Bowl before, and he's never even won a playoff game, really. So this will be his shot to do it this year. This year, and hopefully they, and for his sake and for that team's sake, they do that. They do that. Now, I'm looking forward to seeing some of these other notable games. Titans running back Chris Johnson called out his entire offense this past week. First of all, you really shouldn't be talking, bro. You're the one that's not getting it done. They're doing the best that they can, the quarterback, the offensive line, and the wide receivers. You're not living up to your end of the bargain. You wanted all that money. You held out a training camp last year and everything, and you've been complaining for 2 years now. And it's a damn shame because he was once regarded as the best runner in the game. He's not even in my top five anymore. That's how badly he's gone down. The best running back to me is the running back who's in that same division as him, but not him. And to me, that's Arian Foster of the Texans. Now, the Titans have the Detroit Lions coming to town this Sunday. Detroit's going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder. If I'm Jake Locker, I'm worried. I'm worried. I'm definitely worried. Going up against Detroit's front line, yeah, I should be worried and scared a little bit. Now, the storyline into that game is Jim Schwartz, who spent 8 years as a defensive coordinator for the Titans and a former defensive assistant coach before coming to Detroit as their head coach in 2009, gets to face his former team. Kyle Vannebosch, who's a former defensive end of Tennessee, he gets to face his former team. So that's going to be a very interesting matchup, and I'm looking forward to seeing that game. That should be a very anticipated game, and we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Another matchup I'm looking forward to seeing is one particular game where I think that this game could be one of those underlooked games. We'll see what happens. We'll see what goes down. And that's San Francisco against Minnesota. And I say that because my thing is San Francisco, they've gone up against two teams who like to throw the ball more. Now they're going to be going up against a team with a power runner. Now my question is, how good of a defense are you to shut down a good running game? And keep in mind, Adrian Peterson, he's playing hurt still. I don't care what anybody says. He's still hurting. But he's going to get his big test against San Francisco's defense because they're going to be playing tough. They're going to be playing tough, and they're going to stack the line and try and stop him and force Christian Ponder to beat them. Luckily for Minnesota, they're playing at home. And again, the last time he hosted San Francisco, it was a wild finish. Even I was amazed at it. I was just like amazed, completely like, wow. Brett Favre threw that game-winning touchdown pass, and it just looked beautiful the way he got that ball into the receiver between the defenders at the end of the game. Just amazing. Just amazing. San Francisco has not forgotten that game, folks. So they're going to go into that game with a lot of momentum. They're going to want to win that game and keep their undefeated season going, their undefeated streak this year going to get to 3-0. And if or when they win that game, they'll Super Bowl talks will continue to increase. It'll increase as things go by week after week after week. Now, I know that it's still early in the season, but I know some teams look like they're on the downhill, like the Saints, like the Titans, who had a 9-7 record last year, and a lot of people think that expectations were high on them going into the start of this season. That hasn't been the case. But they played two tough teams in New England and San Diego, so I'm not really surprised at their struggles. And they're getting ready to face another tough team in Detroit coming to town, so they're looking at an 0-3 start right now. And if they win this game, they can salvage their season a little bit. Because right now, going down 0-3 is not going to help any team's cause, because it's not going to be as easy to come back from that, because the game's gotten faster and the athletes have gotten better and teams are tougher. It's tougher now than it was back in the 90s. It's not as easy. Some teams can pull it off, though. I will say that. Some teams can pull it off, but it'll be tough to do for that team because they got a young quarterback who's going to be starting his first full season. They got a running back who's arguably been probably the most disappointing player in the NFL right now and who's just not getting it done. And another guy who and some of their wide receivers who are just not getting themselves up and going. To me, they've lost some pieces, you know, with Jeff Fisher, their former head coach, Jim Schwartz, their former defensive coordinator, Norm Child, their former offensive coordinator, even Vince Young, their former quarterback, Keith Bullitt, Kyle Vannebaugh, guys who have moved on. It's just not the same. You know, it's just not the same. But the season is still young. You got plenty of time to turn it around, so we'll see what happens. And, again, we will see what this team can do. Another team who really needs to win this week is New Orleans. Now, they got Kansas City coming to town, another 0-2 team who looks even worse, so the Saints can feel a little bit relieved. But, hey, Kansas City, don't be surprised if they take it to New Orleans this week. Don't be surprised. Do not be surprised. If there's a time that they can beat New Orleans or any team that can beat New Orleans, now is the time. Now is the time to stack the line and stop the Saints. You heard the players say it. They're desperate. They're desperate for a win. They win this game, they save their season, or at least cushion their season for a little bit. So we'll see what happens. I know for sure that every team is really going to challenge them because of what they're going through. And they just really haven't looked like themselves. Drew Brees has been throwing interceptions. He's been fumbling the football. The running game really hasn't been there. And like I said, I honestly believe not just the suspension of some of their coaches and stuff, but I think some of the players that they lost. Carl Nix, who was their former offensive guard, he's with Tampa Bay now. Some of their wide receivers, a couple of them, I believe, who left in Robert Meacham, who's no longer there. They lost some of their players, and that kind of hurts a little bit too, especially on offense. Especially on offense. Anytime you lose a great blocker, a great pass protector, and then one of your targets, yeah, that's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. So they need to, again, salvage some pride and see what they can do to win this game, because Kansas City is going to come in and really, really challenge them. And we'll see what New Orleans does to respond to that. We will see what they do. We will definitely see what they do. Now, the Baltimore-New England game is going to be a tough one for both teams, really, not just New England. It's going to be a tough game. To me, it's a must-win for both teams. It's a must-win. I want to see how New England goes into this game. What type of mentality are they going to have? What are they going to do? Now, going back to the Saints, some of the players met with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell this past week, most of them. One of them, Anthony Hargrove, who now is an NFL free agent, decided to cancel his meeting so he can rehab his knee injury. Jonathan Vilma had his meeting. Scott Fujita had his meeting, I believe. And Will Smith had his meeting as well. So keeping that in mind, keeping that in mind, it's going to be interesting to see what happens now. Because these guys, the suspension was lifted before week one. Surprisingly, the judge ruled in favor of the players, and they allowed them. Well, Vilma, he's on the PUP list. He's going to be on the PUP list for the next 4 weeks. So he's not going to be able to play no way. Another particular player with the situation, another particular player on their team, Darren Sproles, where has he been? I haven't seen much of him in the highlights this year for their team. Where has he been at? I mean, what's... I mean, what is going on? So, we'll see what happens. But week three is going to be another interesting week. And I cannot wait to see what's going to happen. Now, with the Chiefs coming to town, this Kansas City Chiefs team, last year I said the first 2 weeks of the season, they were the most disappointing team. The second week of the year, they had lost Jamaal Charles to a season-ending torn ACL. Like last year, they got off to an 0-2 start, and they've already given up an average of 41 points per game. Last year, they gave up 41 to Buffalo and 48 to Detroit. This year, they've given up 48 to the Jets and 35 to Buffalo. And 75 points given up in two games this past season, which is the second most in team history. The most was last year, 89 points. They were outscored 89-10 in their first two games of the season. And it's funny because out of these games, the first two last year and the first two this year, two of those instances came against Buffalo. And it's funny because you would think this is the same team who was the only team to beat the Green Bay Packers in the regular season last year when Romeo Crennel first took over as the head coach. Now there's talk about him being on the hot seat already after 2 weeks. Look, you could put all the blame on the head coach as much as you want, but there's plenty of blame to go on that offense. Jamaal Charles, I mean, he's got to be another one of those disappointing players right now. Matt Castle, to me, he's been one of the most disappointing quarterbacks since he left New England for Kansas City. And Dwayne Bowe, he just hasn't necessarily kept it consistent as far as I'm concerned. And then you force that defense to beat you. That defense isn't going to beat you all the time. So what do you need to do? What should this team do? What can this team do? Keep in mind, they're playing in a division where they still have a chance to compete and win it. I mean, just because Denver has Peyton Manning and San Diego's gotten off to a 2-0 start don't mean diddly. So, again, that division was competitive last year. All the teams were capable of beating each other up. This year, that's kind of like the same situation. We've already seen one divisional game so far this week, this season, and that was San Diego going to Oakland and beating them in week one on Monday night. Now, speaking of Oakland, they're just as disastrous as Kansas City. They're also 0-2, and they got railroaded by Miami where – they let a rookie quarterback throw a touchdown and run for one and get his first win as a rookie quarterback and just his second career start. So something should be done about this Oakland Raiders team as well. They really need to buckle down and take care of business because, again, you know, Al Davis may not be there no more, but, again, this team looks like they're on a track to go on a complete downhill. Now, I know they don't have Michael Bush as a free agent anymore, and that's okay. That's okay, but this team needs to put it together. Carson Palmer, Darren McFadden, and the rest of that offense. Because you can't ask the defense to make plays every week. Your offense has got to be able to hold their own. And you got guys like Richard Seymour on the defense who's doing the best he can, but you can't ask him to do it all by himself. It's got to be a total team effort for these teams to win games, period. That's the way it is, and that's the way it should be. Now, I did say that the Saints were a very big disappointment, but to me, they're not the biggest disappointment so far this season because of what's been going on. A lot of people expected them to kind of struggle with everything that they've been dealing with. To me, the most disappointing team, probably you can make a case for them because of I guess, you know, certain level of expectations and things of that nature. With what everyone is expecting them to play like and how teams are really going to approach them. To me, I would have to say one particular team that to me that just looks a little bit disappointing. And like I said, you can make a case for a lot of these teams. There's a lot of these teams that look a little disappointing right now. We got a lot of teams that are 1-1 right now. Some teams look good one week and they look good, they look bad the next, or vice versa. But to me, I would have to say one disappointing team, besides Oakland, obviously, I would have to say Chicago, because I knew that they were going to trounce on Indy. I mean, come on, they're playing a Colts team with a rookie quarterback. They look disastrous against Green Bay. Now, if that's how they're going to look against playoff contending teams, they're in big trouble, big trouble. Keep in mind, Matt Forte got hurt in that game and had to leave with an injury in that game last Thursday. Ryan Urlacher, their linebacker, has been playing hurt. I think his best days are behind him. His career looks like it's going to be coming to an end pretty soon, maybe within another couple years. That defense is just not the same as it was, period. That defense is just not the same as it was back in 2006 where they were really lights out. You know, 05 and 06 were like their best defensive days in the past decade. They're just not the same as they once were, period. And that offensive line can't protect nobody. They still can't protect Cutler. And Cutler is still making mistakes. He's still getting sacked too much. He's still throwing too many INTs. It's just a complete disaster. It's just a complete disaster. And whatever the case was, they went to that Green Bay game feeling pretty confident about themselves, and they laid a flat egg, period. It was a big egg, by the way, I should say. Big egg. I would say another disappointing team, to me, is the Buffalo Bills. I know they trounced on Kansas City, but let's be honest, it's Kansas City. But giving up 48 points to the Jets was just flat-out embarrassing. Flat-out embarrassing. Just horrible. And for a team that really is trying to reconstruct their defense, they brought in Mario Williams, and they're trying to make themselves a serious contender. They just looked absolutely horrendous in that game. Absolutely horrendous. I don't know how to explain it, but they just looked horrible. Just completely horrible. I don't know how to sugarcoat it, but I will tell you that, again, a lot of these teams who are 1-1, they're lucky that it's just 2 weeks into the season that they got time, plenty of time to turn it around. Plenty of time to turn around. Plenty of time. But we'll see what happens with those guys, and we'll see what happens down the stretch with some of these teams and how well that they play down the stretch and things of that nature. We'll see what they do. Week three is going to be big. Going to be big. Going to be very, very big. And we'll see how well these teams perform. We will see how well these teams perform. I'm already looking forward to some of these games, and I'm going to try and check out as many of them as possible. I also want to say, with everything that's going on off the field with some of these players getting into certain situations, some of these teams really need to step their game up before their season completely caves in on them and they're just sitting there bearing false witness to it. They need to do something about that and do something about that real quick. Like I said, we got some interesting matchups coming up and we got a few notable injuries and things like that, but we'll see what happens with some of these teams. But I can say it's time to panic in New Orleans. It's time to panic in Tennessee. And it's certainly panic time in Oakland and Kansas City. A lot of teams that thought that Kansas City would bounce back from last year's horrendous season despite the win over Green Bay. A lot of people thought that this team would bounce back and really make some noise again, you know, with the healthy Jamaal Charles and Peyton Hillis. Whatever it is, it's just not helping them out. I don't understand why they would be struggling. I mean, I know they've gone up against Atlanta in week one and playing against Buffalo, team who got off to a great start last year, but at least be competitive. I mean, they've gotten blown out in their first two games already, just suffering major beatdowns and giving up a lot of points. Just flat out disappointing. And I don't know what to say to that. You give up 40 in one game and you give up 35 in another. I mean, seriously, y'all need to get it together, for real. Romeo Crennel might not make it past week three. It's a shame because Romeo Crennel, much to his credit, is a good head coach. But he's coached some bad teams in his time. The Cleveland Browns and now the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's just a shame. But there's still time to turn it around. But they need to hurry up and do it as quickly as they can. But they're going to be on the outside looking in the rest of this season. They're going to spend next year's offensive line trying to figure out who their head coach is going to be probably and who their starting quarterback is definitely going to be. Because apparently Matt Castle just isn't the answer. And expectations were high on him for his time being a backup in New England where he just showed some great flashes. Between him and Kevin Cobb, when those guys eventually took over and moved on to other teams and became starting quarterbacks, you'd have thought that those teams would have been better. And not necessarily has been the case. Cobb got benched in favor of Vic, and Castle, he's getting beat up already the first 2 weeks of the season. These teams really need to step it up because, again, it's only going to get tougher from here on out. So as far as I'm concerned, some of these teams that are 0-2, y'all need to really, really salvage some pride, muster some energy, do what you got to do, and do it fast. Because, damn, this is just getting brutal and sad. Ugh, man. Really? This is horrible. Horrible. I've seen other 0-2 teams play better than this. I've seen better 0-2 teams play before in the past. Some of these teams are just flat out ugly. Oakland, Kansas City, even New Orleans, despite scoring a lot of points, but they're still playing ugly football. But to surprise teams like Arizona, to other teams with high expectations like Philadelphia, San Diego, and Atlanta, keep doing what y'all do. Keep doing what y'all do. And it's funny because those four teams are going to be featured in two games. Philly and Arizona, Atlanta and San Diego. So out of four of those teams, two of those teams will be still undefeated after week three this week. Oh, and keep in mind, other teams, Jacksonville, ugly. The Texans, they're 2-0. Keep up the great work, guys. Looking forward to that matchup with the Lions on Thanksgiving in a couple months. That's going to be a big matchup. They also got games against Green Bay. They also got games against Chicago. They're expected to play New England this year. I think they face Baltimore. They'll be facing Cincinnati again. So they got a tough schedule. But I really think that this Texans team could make a run to the Super Bowl. Some of these other teams in the AFC are already in disarray. This team is really keeping it together. To me, Arian Foster is the best runner. Andre Johnson is one of the top three wide receivers with Calvin Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald. Matt Schaub, to me, he's one of the top 15 passers in the game. I wouldn't necessarily put him in the top 10 because he's coming back from an injury-plagued season last year, which he missed the rest of the year. So he's got to work his way back up. But keep in mind, he was the leading passer just a few years ago. So you can make a case for him being in the top 10 or being in the top 15, but other quarterbacks have really passed him up if you think about it. And that defense, despite no longer having Mario Williams or D'Amico Ryans, who is now with Philadelphia, by the way, continue to do what you're doing. Continue to do what you're doing. Now, other 1-1 teams like Pittsburgh, Baltimore, the Jets, keep doing what y'all need to keep doing what y'all do and get better. Because I just look at it like, hey, this is it. This is it. This is it. Now I want to do take the time to do a quick update. I got a chance to check out the Tigers Athletics game. The Tigers are up 3-0. This is a game that they need to win, so that should be good. That should be good news for me. Of course, you know I'm a Tigers fan. Obviously, I root for my hometown team, and some of my and a lot of my other friends were also Tigers fans and Tigers supporters. So, also I want to say get well wishes to North Carolina college football coach Roy Williams, who went. Who underwent surgery to remove a tumor from his kidney. So I want to say best wishes to you. Get well wishes. He's one of the best college football, college basketball coaches ever. Best wishes to you. And may you continue, may you recover from that and get back to full speed as quickly as you can. I tip my hat up to you for everything that you've done up to this point and everything that you will continue to do from here on out. I also want to say to some of these other players that are hurt right now and beat up, best wishes to your recoveries and things like that. Get yourself back up to full speed as quickly as you can. And may you continue to do what you've been doing. Because you hate for injuries to be the cause of players missing games and their careers being on the decline. You hate to see that happen. You hate to see that happen. Well, anyway, week 3 is going to be big. Week 3 in the NFL is going to be big, and I'm looking forward to hopefully getting a chance to see some of these games. I will be film shooting this weekend. We did not film shoot this past week, which is what allowed me to watch the games and allowed me to have this show with you guys tonight. So if I don't have a show next week, it'll be because I'm filming on Sunday. And I prefer to have a show where I get a chance to watch the games instead of just having a show and act like I know what I'm talking about and I didn't see not one game. I will be filming all day next this Sunday. In fact, the next 2 Sundays we're going to be filming a lot. So if you know me, I will be film shooting for my 2 pictures these next 2 weekends tremendously. I want to take the opportunity to say to the cast of The Goblin Lady, my castmates, to some of the guys who've also provided his crew, like myself, Giles Key, who's been the mastermind of this project, to Craig Williamson, who's been another mastermind. You guys continue to keep doing what you do because at the end of the day, you can only go as far as you want to. You provide the path for yourself that allows you to go and do what you have to. Every individual is capable of doing so many great things. You give yourself a chance to do wonderful stuff, your hard work will pay off. You have the right attitudes, and I'm happy to be on the same boat as you guys. And Giles, I consider you a big brother, and I got a lot of love and respect for you, my friend. And I'm happy to be riding the same boat as you, my friend. Keep up the excellence. To my castmates from Aaliyah, I'm glad we got a chance to get episode 3 filmed. I don't know when we're going to do episode 4. But again, I hope to catch up with some of you guys. To Marita, Giles, Angela, Eric, Steve, Gregory, looking forward to seeing you guys when we get a chance to watch some of the episodes together. So keep doing what y'all do. Dion, you keep up the great work too, and I'm looking forward to seeing what you're going to do with your Aisha project and some of your other future work. To my good friend Carol Towns, I want to say congratulations to you for making the cut for the Angels on Assignment 2 play. I knew you would. They would be crazy and stupid not to bring you in. I'll be checking out your show in December, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. To Catherine Martinez, who's my good friend, who's like a sister to me, who's a neighbor, I want to say continue to do what you're doing. You're doing great. I'm proud of you. Love you to death. Continue to do what you're doing. To my castmates in Love Has a Mind of Its Own, to the ones who I haven't got a chance to film with yet, Alita, keep doing what you're doing. My prayers are still with you. I will definitely be in touch with you pretty soon. Continue to do what you're doing. To Robert, to Damian, Confidence, Elijah, can't wait to film that basketball scene with y'all. We're going to knock them out, y'all. We're going to knock them out. To Mark, I want to say thank you for your contributions. To Joey, you too. Patrice, thank you. To Dennis Reed, thank you for letting us use your gas station to shoot. And again, thank you to Andre for doing what you've been doing. Jackie, Robert, Edmund, Angela again, thank you. Noel, thank you. We're friends now. We're no longer dating. I moved on. So has she. We just came to a mutual decision, and it was the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do. So, Noel, just continue to do what you're doing. I'm proud of you. Still love you the same. May God continue to bless you in everything that you're doing. To my new girl, who I'm dating, Quanitra Terry, thank you for doing the Rocket Video Edition with me last week, the interview. Real quickly, anyone who wants to be a guest on the Rocket Video Edition that's in the Michigan area, willing to travel, please contact me whenever. I can be reached at christian.andrews@yahoo.com. My email address is on my Facebook account. You can find me on there. You can find me on YouTube as well, where the videos are also posted. Also, to Quanitra, I love you. I love you very much, and thank you. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for putting up with me. Good luck to your fashion event this weekend. Had a great time with you this past weekend. Also, I want to say you just continue to do what you're doing. God is blessing you tremendously. You deserve everything. And I'm glad to be in your corner. And hopefully this thing between you and me, this relationship, lasts long. So thank you. Thank you. Looking forward to seeing you again later this week. You continue to do what you're doing. Just continue to do what you're doing. And again, to everybody that's out there doing big things, everybody who I haven't mentioned, to Dell Banks, to some of the other playwrights, Vanessa Lynn, they got their Boss Lady event next Thursday. I'm going to definitely try and check that out. So you guys that are living in the Royal Oak area, the event will be at the Main Art Theater. Tickets are, I believe, $18 to $20. You have to go to God's World to purchase them. She sold out. I'm not surprised at that. to Dolores Harris, who's having her retirement party. She's retiring as a principal at her elementary school. Congratulations. Now you can focus more on your careers, and you can really, really, really jet set off to bigger and better things. To Jennifer Blue, I want to apologize for not being able to come to rehearsals. My schedule's been so busy. Continue to do what you're doing October 20th. I will definitely at least be there to see the show if I'm still not part of the cast, or at least not the understudy for the play. A Different Shade of Blue is the name of that. You guys, I can contact her on Facebook for more information. Again, you guys continue to do what you're doing out there. And to all you athletes, to all of you stars, work with what God gives you. Don't worry about fame. Don't worry about money. Worry about what you need to do to better yourself. And that goes for everybody out there. NFL Week 3, good luck to all your teams. Tomorrow night, the Giants and Panthers will take the field live from Charlotte, North Carolina. That game will be on the NFL Network. Kickoff time is around 8 or 8:30, usually somewhere between then. You know how that is. That's going to be a big game, and I will be tuning in to watch that. So, again, good luck to the Giants and Panthers. Good luck to their fans who will be rooting for those two teams. That should be a very good game. The Giants defense going up against Cam Newton. That should be a big game. I'm going to make a quick prediction. I'm taking Carolina in the upset. Yes, I think the fact that the Giants struggling at home against Dallas, barely coming back to beating Tampa Bay, going to that place to face Carolina, who came off a big win for the against the New Orleans Saints. So, again, I'm picking Carolina in the upset. Join with me. If not next week, I'll be back the week after. Again, you guys continue to do what you're doing. Good luck to all your teams. This is Rocket signing off. Rocket Nation, I want to say thank you all for tuning in to another installment of the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Again, if you don't hear from me next week, I'll be back on again real soon. So take care of yourselves and each other. And again, remember, athletes, future athletes, past, present, future, work with your talents. Do what you need to do because you know what you bring to the table. You know what you can do, and you're doing it. So, again, I will see you guys real soon. You check me out on Facebook. Take care of yourselves. Good luck to all your teams down the stretch in every sport, every athlete you cheer for, no matter who it is or what it is. Do your thing. Do your thing. Rocket Nation, get ready for a power trip. Remember, do the best you can to the best of your abilities. I'll be seeing you guys real soon. Take care of yourselves.